Now please turn with me to Psalm 34. Earlier we had read from 1 Samuel chapter 21, a passage and account of a chapter in the life of David, which I may say was a sad chapter. And out of that particular experience, David was inspired to write Psalm 34, which we are going to read now. For unless you had read 1 Samuel 21, you cannot fully appreciate the writing of Psalm 34. So please concentrate and follow as I read. Psalm 34, a psalm of David. When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Amen. I want all of us here to concentrate on the theme set before us, the providential care of God. What do you understand by this title? The Lord has many precious lessons for us out of this theme. It is the most precious doctrine, the providential care of God. A doctrine that is full of comfort, assurance, in times of doubt, in times of disappointment, depression, dejection, sorrow, suffering. All these are part of life on earth, common to all men. So we ask the question, is the Christian better off? Does faith in the Lord Jesus make a difference in all these situations and circumstances, problems and trials that we go through, especially now? What is it you are suffering, bearing, and causing you to wonder? Does Jesus care? 1 Samuel 21 is the record of a sad chapter in the life of David. We all remember David as a great king, the one who conquered the giant. And yet here in the chapter we had read earlier, we see David on the run. Have you ever been on the run? It is a frightening thing to be pursued by the king with 3,000 chosen men and you alone with a few supporters. So we see David fleeing first to the house of God to see what he might find there to help. There he found some food and a sword. Then he fled to Philistine land. Who are the Philistines? Enemies. And yet, David ran there for some kind of comfort. I want us to realize, to appreciate. You see, when you read the chapter is without the sorrows and the terrors and the suspense and anxiety that goes with a man on the run. You cannot understand his experience, but there it is. Consider the sadness and the trauma. David, not long ago, a favorite at court, when Saul loved him, all was well. Now Saul is pursuing him as an enemy. David on the run, leaving home, homeland, and his best friend. You know, we all find solace and comfort in our friends, don't we? We all must have friends. Jonathan was his bosom friend, special friend, one who would be willing even to lay down his life for David. David had to run. Without Jonathan, David had to run. Away from God's house, the house where he oft times would go and there find comfort, support, encouragement. That is the purpose of this house of God here, not just the house, the building, but the people is there. And I say, dear friends, let's always come, resort to this blessed place. What for? We know the Lord is here, and God's people are here, people who care. We ought to be, all of us. We ought to care one for another. Now David is on the run. When can I come back to the house of God? When can I come back and see old faces, people who care and love me? So we see David as an exile. It is a sad word to have to leave your home country because of circumstances beyond your control. So I said, while we sit here comfortably, may God's Spirit help us to appreciate David as he ran. Surely there were times when he reflected, when he sat down and said, what is all this about? Oh, my suffering, the misery of being an exile, the loneliness of the nights, the uncertainty of the future. And the Lord seems to have hidden his face. Does he care? Is he with me? Will he help me? You see, dear friends, these are the questions that go through the mind of one who is suffering. And you cannot understand this until you suffer. So there we see David. At times he weeps, for he says here, this poor man cried, verse 6. Who is this poor man? The king designate. He was to be the king. God had anointed him. And he sat there and he cried. Ah, dear friends, when was the last time you cried? It is a good thing if God would send us tears of repentance, tears of contrition, tears of sorrow. For in those tears, we are drawn closer to the Maker, to the Savior. For our Lord Jesus oftentimes wept tears. His tears were not for himself, his tears were for us. But our tears are for ourselves. And this poor man cried, and he sighed and wept, overwhelmed with grief. Are you? His cup of sorrow was too bitter for him to drink. And at times he will wonder, Lord, what is the meaning? This man Saul, he is after my blood. He seems to prosper. Maybe you're asking that same question. How is it someone seems to prosper who is against me? And I know he is such a wicked man. He has got no mercy or righteousness, and yet he's doing very well, and I'm not. Is this your experience? Under those circumstances, oftentimes the natural response is to reflect and to look inwards, to look at your own problem, magnify it, and become very depressed. I said that is a trap. We must not. That self-pity, that natural response, that tendency to magnify all your problems and to look inward all the time only ends you in a very tight situation of hopelessness. That's why people contemplate suicide. We must never. Consider David. Can your plight be worse than his? And yet in your present situation, dear friends, anyone who is suffering, I say your plight and that of David on the run has something in common. Not just the running and the anxiety and the terror of fleeing, but there is something in common between you, a child of God, and that of David. That one thing that is common to us both is we are included in the providential care of God. No matter what your problem, if you are a child of God, no matter how dark the future seems to be and the present situation that you are in, if you are a child of God, you are included in the providential care of God. Even as David was, no matter how hard the running and the fleeing, how difficult the times, David was never out of the providential care of God. God had called David. You remember? Samuel went and called him and anointed him and said, "You are going to be the king." God had chosen him, earmarked him, designated him to be the king. God had brought him into a special relationship with him, a child of God. So I say that is the thing we have in common. No matter who you are, how lowly you think you are, as long as you have been called and you have responded and by faith come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his child and you are in his providential care. I want you to turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 6 for those who are worried and in great anxiety. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. The Lord Jesus says to us in verse 25 and 26, Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat or the food? The body more than the clothing." Verse 26. "Behold the fowls, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" These words from our Creator Redeemer must touch a responsive chord in some heart today. The Lord Jesus says, you are in a problem today. You're watching the economic index every day in Straits Times. You're hoping for an upturn, isn't it? Or we all are hoping. We are worried our investments are going down. I'm told house prices have gone down by 40%, 50%. Oh dear, what will happen? The Lord Jesus says, do not be unduly worried. Take no thought. Don't despair. Then he says, look at the birds. Do you ever see a sparrow sowing, reaping, working? Or any bird doing such a thing? And yet the Heavenly Father feeds them every day. They don't go hungry. And what is the worth of a sparrow? Worthless. Worth nothing. And yet God cares for the sparrows. And those are common things that live and die, and nobody takes any note of sparrows. How about us? The Lord Jesus says, you are a child of God. Will the Heavenly Father who feeds a sparrow not feed you? That kind of logic you cannot fault, right? You cannot. If God cares for that bird, He must care for you much more than the birds. You are His child, and His providence includes you. You know what is providence? You know the Provident Fund? Oh, you all know Provident Fund? It's the same idea. Laying by all the goodness for the rainy day. God is laying by for you. Every day He cares for you. Every day He is thinking of you, planning for you, providing for you, protecting you, caring for you. He is the perfect Father, the Heavenly Father. So He says, are you not much better than the birds? You too, dear friends, I say, like God called David, God also called you if you have already come into His family. There was a day when God called you, wasn't there? There was a day when you heard the gospel call and you said, that's right, I need the Savior. I want Jesus to be my Savior and no one else, and I will follow Him to the death, to the end of life, until He brings me into the promised land. I will follow Jesus only, right? And then we said, I'm willing to give up everything else. And I came to this platform, I was baptized. I confess Jesus. You are a child of God. You therefore come into a special category. God cares for all the people of the world. He does. Yes. No matter how wicked they are, God still cares for them by common grace. The Lord says, His sun shines on the good and the wicked. His rain falls on the good and the wicked. But on us, there's something that they don't get outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Something they don't get. What is it? The providential care of the Father in heaven. That we get. Because we are His children. So I say, God called David. God had separated him for a special purpose. Earmarked him, sealed him, anointed him, prepared him for a great work to be what? King. To be also the psalmist of Israel. I say, we too. Not to the same degree, but in the same kind of grace of God. We are in that special relationship Once we have committed ourselves and the Lord has found us and we embrace the faith, we have a Heavenly Father. And through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we are brought into the family. So, Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son. Right? God the Father did not spare His own Son for you, but delivered Him up for you and for me. Will He not with Him also, what? Give us all things that we need, just as for the sparrow in that little analogy. So out of the experience of 1 Samuel chapter 21, David on the run, fleeing from the wrath of Saul, David gained an experience which he would never have gained otherwise. You agree? If you never experience sadness or sorrow or disappointment or failure, how can you ever understand the grace of God and the providential care of God? So out of that experience, David was inspired to write Psalm 34. Back to Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34 is for our instruction. For every scripture is for our instruction. For our benefit, for our encouragement, especially those who today are under trial and sore testing. You may at this time say, well, mine is too hard to explain. Only I understand it. I say, you're wrong. The Lord understands you better than you do yourself. The Lord understands your problem. No matter how hard it is, no matter how complicated it may be. And you say, well, my faith is almost gone. My feet are slipping. And I wonder, where is my God? Where is He? Does He care for me? Is He able to help me? Answer, Psalm 34 is all there. Every problem of yours finds an answer in Psalm 34. And I find two verses which I like to label as key verses. Which are the key verses out of this Psalm of 22 verses? Would you like to venture a guess? Well, as I read, the Word of God spoke, and I think the key verses for our situation this morning is verse 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9, you see, someone here is in great straits and almost going to give up. Then what do you say to him? Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You say, I have never experienced that kind of thing. David says, you can taste. They say the proof of the pudding is in the what? In the eating. They say, this pudding is very good, but you won't eat. The Lord is so wonderful. What must you do? Come into Him. Come to Him. Taste Him. Verse 8. David, who had gone through that terrible experience, and came through, God saved him. You know how twice, while Saul pursued David, twice David could have killed him easily. And twice David forgave him. And God blessed David. So at the end of the experience, David could write Psalm 34 for you, for me. Today, in the year of grace 1998, he wrote it so many thousand years ago. Still good.
this psalm is still effective, still fresh, still relevant, applicable. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Unless and until you come to Him and say, Lord, I need you. I have a problem. God, He knows your problem already. What must you do? He don't say, well, since you know my problem, I don't have to tell you. No. He says, I wait here to hear from you. Come, taste and see. Tell me all your problems. Do you? Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, the one who called you, the one who created you, the one who saved you, the one who died for you. Can He not solve your little problem today? Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is a man who comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I know you have the answer. You know all about me. All my problems are known to thee. Surely you who died for me to save my soul can do something small to save my body. Sickness, insomnia, nerves, whatever your problem is, old age, worried, all these things come on us and create nerves and problems and anxieties and worries, right? Don't take tranquilizers. Last of all, never, never go to a psychiatrist or psychologist. They never cure you. They only bluff you, suppress your thoughts, suppress your feelings, give you something to tranquilize you so you look walk around like a zombie. You never get cured. Come to the Lord. He said, taste and see the Lord. He is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. There is no one to them that fear Him. Ah, here is the solution. What is your problem? Fear the Lord. Meaning to say, my Lord has my fate in His hands. Right? We don't like the word fate, but it expresses an idea. The Lord knows my whole future. He has my future in His hands. And I come to Him. I fear Him because I know He is my Savior and Judge. And my greatest concern is that I do things to please Him. I must do things not to sin against Him. And if I fear Him, I need fear nothing else. No one else. All right, I said these two are the key verses, 8 and 9. To someone who has not trusted, I say, oh, come, taste and see. You cannot know how good that thing is until you eat it. Same with the Lord Jesus. You come and cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Then when you come, then you see what a great deliverance comes over you. But you must come. You must taste. You must eat. Then you say, my Lord Jesus is so wonderful. And then you have a whole new outlook, a whole new experience. This was the experience of David. David says, I went to the sanctuary in 1 Samuel 21. I went to the sanctuary thinking I will get help there from the people there, but no, not much help. In fact, in the sanctuary of God that day, there was a spy and a traitor who eventually caused the death of the priests. All of them were slaughtered by Saul. Then I fled to Philistine country. What a foolish thing to do. Yet he did it. And there he met the lords of the Philistines. And the Philistines surely remembered this was the one who killed our champion Goliath. And now he's here. So that was a wrong move. You see? So David realized my help is not in man. Neither in the house of God, the sanctuary, can I find help in man, nor in Philistine country, my help does not come from there.
My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Only God can help me. I say this is the answer to all your problems today. So, David says, in my sore distress, and don't you always imagine King David was a king, always with his regal robes, always high and mighty? No, not at all. Oftentimes he was in great despair and depression and he cried. Why does it say so? Verse 6. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Ah, this poor man was David the king. David cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I want you to note this verse. It's so wonderful, you know. God saved him. The Lord saved him out of, it doesn't say, some of his troubles. Or saved him out of his big troubles. It says all troubles. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect physician, he heals you of all your diseases. You can come to the doctor and he'll heal you of the big ones and your small ones still remain. All the small problems, go home. Don't bother me. I can only cure big problems. Our Lord cures all problems. Wonderful God, wonderful Lord. Now, verse 7. Do you believe in this? It says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Do you believe in angels? Oh, my friends, angels are only ministering spirits. God uses them as his messengers and servants to perform special function on behalf of his people, you and me. God has his angels. Have you ever experienced them? How come a man about to be executed the next day and God sends an angel to take him? A total stranger took my father. This was about 73 years ago, before I was born. A total stranger took him and said, follow me, and I'll take you to the place of escape. And he did. He escaped his captors and executors. You see, when God says there are angels, please believe. There are good angels that God uses to help you in the time of great need. When no man can help you, only an angel can help you. And God has angels by the millions available for every child of God. Only thing is, you don't see them. But sometimes you see them come in human form. God uses a man to help you as an angel. Now, what is the conclusion? Our time is nearly up. Verse 17 to 19. For those who are still in trouble, the Lord's word has got more for you. Verse 17. The righteous cry. Please don't stifle your tears if you need to cry. You have a problem, go to your secret place of prayer and there pour out your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I cannot bear it anymore and I must give myself a good cry. You do. Verse 17. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I'm so happy to read this, aren't you? In verse 6, it said all his troubles. 17, again it says, all their troubles. Praise the Lord. How many troubles do you have? 10, 20, 100? No trouble is too big. No trouble is too small. No troubles are too many. It says the Lord will deliver you out of all your troubles. Go to him today. Come to him now. And the Lord will deliver you out of all your troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is near them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Be humble. You cannot come with all your pride and your self efficiency and sufficiency and pretend you can solve your problems, your problems will not be solved. God only looks for the contrite spirit and the broken heart. A broken and a contrite spirit, the Lord will not despise. That is a promise. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Three times it says, all your troubles, all your problems, the Lord delivereth them all for you, because you are his child, because you are included in the providential care of God. We have a wonderful Savior who thinks of us all the time, daily. For he who died, rose again, is now seated up in heaven on the right hand of God, doing one thing, daily, always, all the time, interceding for us, praying for us. Only problem is we do not pray enough to him. Come to him, dear friend, for he cares for you. And his providential care includes you. As long as you are in this flesh, on this earth, going through earthly, worldly troubles and sufferings, which is part and parcel of this life, our Lord knows very well. And he includes you in his care. Do you know? Please come to him today. Amen.